Heaven and victory in Jesus. That's better.
Trials dark on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God would lead us to that blessed promised land. And guide us with His eye, and we'll follow till we die. We will understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes,
great singing, folks, and so good to see you this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. Father, you are so good to us, and we thank you for the victory we have in Christ Jesus. Thank you for the cross of Calvary, and thank you that today, 2,000 years later, we can gather together as the body of Christ. And Father, I want to pray your blessings on this service today. May we focus on you. May we put you first. Lord, I know there are a lot of distractions, and Satan even bombards us with all kind of stuff, trying to get our minds off of Jesus. He doesn't want us to worship you, Lord, but we want to. And Father, would you receive our praise today? Father, I pray for the Lord's Supper time. May it be a wonderful experience with you. And we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated, and it's so good to see you here. We are delighted that you're here this morning, and we just hope that you are doing well. We're glad to have some of our folks back. I think they were back last week, actually, and we want to pray for some other folks this morning. Have we heard from, Miss Catherine, Miss Catherine, right over here, Byron Wilkerson. I'm sorry, y'all. Has anyone heard from her recently? Yes, Miss Carolyn, tell me. So she is still in the hospital. Okay. All right, so you're going to have tests made, run tomorrow. They had to take her to the hospital, I think it was Thursday, and we certainly want to remember her in prayer. All right, well, we want to wish Miss Olene Wednesday, Miss Olene Justice, it'll be happy birthday for her on Wednesday. She'll be 32 years old. Okay, maybe not. All right, and Bobby Mellon, he's going to have a birthday tomorrow also. Bobby, happy birthday, pal. Bobby is 19 tomorrow, so all right. Anyone, I think those are the announcements that we have. I do think that we have passed our Mallory offering, Myers Mallory offering goal. I believe we did that after this was printed, and so we are grateful for that, but we'll mention it again next week. And I believe those are all the announcements. Everything else is in your bulletin. And today is the Lord's Supper. We're going to have a wonderful experience together. Okay, now, one of our favorite times is our fellowship time, or as some call it, fellowship. I'm going to call it fellowship. That's the old Southern pronunciation, I suppose. But we want to greet everyone here today. And if you're a guest in the service, we're glad to have you. And in front of you is a guest card in the pew. Would you fill that out for us and place it in the offering plate when it passes later in the service? And I hope you will indeed do that. All right, folks, let's all stand up and greet one another in Jesus' name. Good.
Check one. Let's all remain standing, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Today, at a familiar passage of Scripture, and it begins in chapter 11, and we'll begin reading with verse number 23 there. Chapter 11, beginning with verse number 23. Paul talks about the Lord's Supper and talks about how we should receive it. Beginning in verse 23. For I received from the Lord, he said, that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Now first they had the Last Supper, what we call the Last Supper, and then at the conclusion of that Last Supper, here's what happened. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, the bread, that is, and he said, take and eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in a worthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment in himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And for this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep, that is, they have died. For if we should judge ourselves, we won't be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. And I'm going to stop right there. In 2001, well, let me say this. Every December 7th, we are reminded of the bombing of Pearl Harbor on December 7th, 1941, that began World War II. Every year, we are reminded of that because it's a very special time in American history where many people died for our country. September 11, 2001 is another day that, as President Roosevelt said, will go down in infamy. It's a day of infamy. And he was saying that about Pearl Harbor. But it also will be another day of infamy. And every year on September 11th, we remember those that died on that horrible day. Well, the Lord also wants us to do something in remembrance. Now, this, though, is a happy occasion. There are two ordinances in the Scripture that are commanded of the Lord, that is, two spiritual observances. One happens once at the beginning of salvation, and then the other continues as a reminder all through our lives as Christians. One is called baptism, and we are commanded to be baptized, repent and be baptized. And Jesus told us, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing those. Now, baptism is a very important thing. It is an introduction of a person who was following the world into the kingdom of God. It's an announcement. It's saying, folks, I was lost, but now I'm saved. And I am here, and I have been spiritually baptized into the body of Christ because I have trusted him as my Lord and Savior. Now, there are several things that are meant in baptism, but that's why one of the things that it's supposed to do, it introduces a person who was lost to the body of believers where that has taken place. And he's announcing, you see, he's lived for the devil and lived for the world, and now he commits his life to live for the Lord. He's been saved. And so along with many others, it signifies the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, which is a testimony of what he has been through as a convert. That he, you see, that's what Jesus did when he died on the cross, the symbolism of baptism. You die on the cross, Jesus died, and when he died, we died. He was buried, we were buried. Therefore, the Bible says we are saved, and then we're raised again to new life. And that's what the water baptism means. But it's an announcement, because we can't see the hearts of folks, and that's why baptism is so important. But the second ordinance is, now, baptism is one time. You are baptized one time. Scripturally. I know some people will say, preacher, I want to be rebaptized because I was saved after I was baptized. And that's wonderful, but it's really technically, and I know what they mean. It's not rebaptism. First time you just dunked. Baptism is a spiritual experience, a spiritual expression. But the second thing is to be done over and overly, often, regularly. It is what we call the Lord's Supper. It is an ordinance that is repeated, and we are reminded in that ordinance of the great cost of our salvation. We are reminded of who we are in Christ and whose we are. We belong to Christ. And so the Lord's Supper, and I'm going to explain this a little bit, the spiritual significance of the Lord's Supper. I want to give us this morning just a reminder. And folks, I want to ask you right now to prepare your hearts and focus on some things I have to say this morning about the Lord's Supper. Because today, when you partake of the Lord's Supper as a child of God, then I want to encourage you to focus on Jesus. Now, the first thing that Jesus wants us to remember, he gives us a reminder of our redemption. The Bible tells us that he wants to remind us that our sins are indeed forgiven. The Bible says in 1 John 2:12, he says, I write you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. Jesus forgave our sins on the cross of Calvary. You see, folks, when he died, he was paying the price that we couldn't pay. What is the wages of sin? The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Actually, we could not even do that. Our death, Our death would not even be enough to pay for our sins, because there is still sin in our lives. And there are many people, Jesus said, will die in their sins. For those that want to be saved, though, they could call on the name of the Lord because of what he did on Calvary. And because of his great, marvelous sacrifice, because of that, you and I have forgiveness of sin, even in our redemption. Now, that word redemption is a cool word. We use it a lot. But it means to be set free based on paying a price. It was used when slaves were, if a slave was in his master's ownership, if someone wanted to set him free, a price was put on him. And so a relative or a benefactor could either come and purchase the slave, and therefore he owned that slave, or he could purchase the slave and pay the price and set him free. That word means, redemption means that, to pay the price to set someone free. And that's what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. Our scripture says in verse 25, this cup is the new covenant. In the King James it says testament, which is fine, same meaning. In my blood, this do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. He says, I want you to remember that I have paid the price for your sin. I want you to go back to that moment when I paid the price, when you received me as Savior. But be reminded, don't forget about the cross of Calvary. Listen to what the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by the tradition of your fathers, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The precious blood of Christ. The old song says, his blood is precious blood. Oh, he died for me on the cross. And that is not anything to be taken lightly. My friend, that's what the Lord's Supper is about, is to be reminded of our redemption, is to be reminded and be told, we tell ourselves, and the action of the observance of the Lord's Supper tells us, if you're saved, your sins are forgiven forever. Now listen, there's something else here. But not only are you forgiven, his sacrifice is final. Our sins are forgiven, but his sacrifice was final. You see, in the Old Testament, when Adam and Eve sinned, God killed a lamb and took its coat and covered them. The picture was, the symbolism there was, that he covered their nakedness or their guilt, covered it up. The fact is that that little lamb had to die so they could be forgiven, their guilt covered. And so from then on, there was a sacrifice that God implemented. And the Jews implemented that in obedience to the command of God to remind them, especially on the Day of Atonement, of the sacrifice that was made, that would be made in the future. Now, they didn't realize that it was going to be Christ or how that would take place, because he was the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. But they would do that. But they would do it over and over and over again. But then when Jesus came, he died once and for all. Listen to what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 28. So Christ was offered once, to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for our salvation. Listen to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10 through 14. Now, I'll remind you, this, the writer of Hebrews, some say Paul, some say Apollos, the writer of Hebrews was trying to get across that you didn't have to pay for your sins over and over and over again. These folks, some of them, and I'll do a sermon on this sometimes, were over and over again, they were getting resaved. And then they were getting baptized again. He said, that's not it. You can't lose your salvation. You belong to God. And he was explaining once and for all. He says by verse 10, by that will we have been sanctified or set apart through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifice which can never take away our sins. But this man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, he sat down at the right hand of God from that time, waiting till his enemies were all made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who have been sanctified. That's us. We've been set apart unto God. So the Bible tells us here, not only does not only give us a reminder of our redemption, and in that he talks about the fact that our sins are forgiven and his sacrifice is final. The second thing we see here, he wants to remind us of our relationship. Our relationships, I should say. The Bible tells us in verse 24, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then verse 16 of chapter 10, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not communion with the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread and one body. For we all partake of that one bread, and that's Jesus. We are one and the body of Christ. Now, it says a reminder of our relationship. First of all, our relationship to Christ. The Bible tells us that we are bought with a price. Listen to what the Bible says in Romans chapter 14 and verse number 8. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. We belong to Jesus. It's an exchange. Listen to what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19 and 20. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? You see, for by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have been made to drink of one Spirit. Our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. We are part of the body of Christ. Our relationship to Christ is that we have been bound together by the Holy Spirit of God. Folks, there is a supernatural bonding between us. There is a supernatural tie. Sometimes at the end of the service, we'll say, blessed be the tie that binds. What is that tie? It's the Spirit of God. And we are one body. If you know Jesus, that is, we are one body in Christ. So he tells us and reminds us about our relationship to Christ. But not only our relationship to Christ, he reminds us of our relationship to his church. The Bible says, and we've said this three or four times, he says in verse 24, he said he'd given thanks and he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, for by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. So we are the body of Christ. So there is first our relationship to Christ, we belong to him. Secondly, our relationship to his church, we belong to each other. Did you know that? The Bible tells us that the body, if one body sin, and that's in chapter 12, if one part, one member of the body sin, it affects all the body. So folks that say, well, this is my problem. I can do what I want. This is between me and God. Now, when we are walking in sin, when we get out of God's will, it affects spiritually the body of Christ. Now, I don't understand all that. I just know it does. That's what the Bible says. Thirdly, not only does it remind us of our relationship to Christ, our relationship to his church, but in relationship to our character. Now, this is what he said beginning in verse 27. He said, therefore, whoever eats of this bread and drinks of this cup in an unworthy manner. Now, I've had folks really wrestle with this. In the King James, it says unworthily. But it means in an unworthy manner. Now, what does that mean? I've had folks that would not take the Lord's Supper because they didn't feel worthy. Well, folks, none of us are worthy. None of us are worthy of salvation. Jesus did it because he loves us. That's why he does it by grace. By grace we are saved through faith, not of ourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Can you imagine if we earn our way into heaven and God do this? There are some Pharisees that would walk around heaven, I made it to heaven on my own. Well, they didn't. If you and I are to spend eternity with the Lord, it is because we are saved by grace. So what is this saying in an unworthy manner? It means to come flippantly or ritualistically or just go through the motions, not do it thoughtfully. You see, folks, it is a spiritual observance, but it should be for us a spiritual experience between us and the Lord, because he wants to remind us of what happened to us when we were saved. But the second thing he says here, not only does he talk about unworthy conduct, he talks about an unsettling comparison. He says in verse number, last part of verse 27, that he will be guilty of the body and the blood of Christ. Well, that's heavy duty. When someone comes flippantly or without thought and just goes through the motions, he's coming and he's actually violating. It's like crucifying the Lord all over again. It should be an experience with the Lord. And if we come thoughtlessly, and that's why we need to be reminded, never should we do that. It always should be an experience, a prayerful experience between us and the Lord and with one another. It's the body of Christ celebrating their redemption. And so the Bible says, if you do that, then you are guilty of that body and blood of Christ. That is, you're as guilty as the Pharisees of the Romans that put Christ on the cross. Now, our sins did that. But that's part of our salvation is to come. Part of our experience is to come to the Lord's Supper in repentance. Not only that, it has unnecessary consequences. It says, verse 29, for he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself. Judgment. That is the Lord's judgment on him. And he goes on to say, that's why some are sick. You see, folks, if we come in a casual manner, if we come flippantly, if we come without thought or meaning, it's just a ritual. It's just a routine. It's just going through the actions. There are some folks that believe the actions alone save them. It's not. It's an experience with the Lord, and I hope you will do that today. I'll remind you of that. So there's unsettling comparisons and unnecessary consequences, because he says you bring on judgment to yourself. But then he notices unreserved confession. Look at verse 28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. God doesn't want us, listen, he doesn't want us to come before him and say, oh no, I'm not worthy. No, he wants us to have an experience by which we examine ourselves and see if there be anything in us that would hinder our relationship with the Lord, that would hinder our testimony, that would harm the body of Christ. That's what it's all about. And so he says, confess it. And then the Bible says in verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we won't be judged. Now, what does that mean? He's talking about examining ourselves and discovering anything that's wrong and confessing it, repenting of it to the Lord. That's one of the experiences of the Lord's Supper. And so he reminds us of our relationship. Thirdly, he reminds us of his return. Oh, this is my favorite part, actually. Looking forward to the coming of Jesus. Look at verse number 26. For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. It's an anticipation of the coming of Christ and the great marriage supper of the Lamb, where we all get together to celebrate the marriage of the Lamb. Marriage to who? Us. It's a supernatural marriage. Now, that's not the marriage that not the marriage type of thing we think of here on earth. It's talking about a supernatural heavenly marriage where we belong to Jesus and he belongs to us. And that's the Bible talks about or compares that Ephesians chapter 5. And we're going to read that beginning of verse 24. It makes that comparison. But here he talks about us being saved. The Bible says Jesus said to the disciples, they had gone out and they were hit heel folks and they were so excited about it. And they came back telling the Lord, even the devils are subject to us. And Jesus said this in Luke 10:20. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now that's something to rejoice about. Our names are written in the Lamb's book of life, sealed with the blood of Jesus and with the Holy Spirit in our lives. That's something to be excited about, folks. Listen to what the Bible says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. You see, it says, for our citizenship is in heaven. It's not here. You know what baptism also announces? It announces a new citizenship. It's saying, you know, when a person who is not from our country becomes a citizen, they have to go through certain things and they make a pledge to live faithfully in the United States. And they make a pledge. This is our pledge. Pledge allegiance to the Lamb. There's a great song like that. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. And that's what baptism does, you see. And so here, he says, we have a citizenship in heaven. When we receive Christ, our citizenship is in heaven, is put in heaven. We become children of the King. We become citizens of God in heaven. And so the Bible says here, and because of that, we wait. We long, the Bible says, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Looking, anticipating, longing for his coming to get us and take us home. Listen to what the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16 through 18. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And here's the goody. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Always. And that's part of what the experience of the Lord's Supper. Our folks, we're going to have an invitation now. We're going to invite you, if you want to move your membership, or maybe you've never been saved or never been baptized scripturally, we'll ask you to come today and make that decision public. If you need to come to the altar, of course, it is always open. So let's bow our heads, and then we'll have our invitation. Father, as we partake today now, Lord, we do it with a thoughtful heart, with an examining heart, with a loving heart. First of all, toward you in gratitude for what you did for us, Lord. And then to each other, knowing that we as the body of Christ long for your coming. Blessed be our invitation now, Lord. Bless it. And then, Lord, bless the Lord's Supper to come. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand. What are we going to sing, Brother Chris? I surrender all. Let's all stand as we sing our hymn of invitation.
Jesus, I surrender all to him. I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender.
I hope that your prayer this morning. And let's all be seated. I'll ask our ushers to come forward with our for our offering. And following this, we will share in the Lord's Supper.
Father, as we take the Lord's Supper, I pray that we feel your presence here among us.
Yes, Lord.
And Father, we do thank you for Jesus Christ and Calvary's cross and the blood that was shed that
yes, Lord.
Cleanses us from our sins and the promise that we will spend eternity with you.
Amen. Thank you, Michael. As we prepare for the Lord's Supper now, I will ask Brother Adrian to come, and we're going to, I just hope it'll be an experience after hearing the message and be reminded of what we're here for. I hope you will be blessed today as we partake of the Lord's Supper. But most of all, I pray that we would bless the Lord today as we partake of the Lord's Supper. Brother Adrian, would you pray for us?
Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the day. We thank you for your saving grace, but most especially, Father, for this observance. We just pray that you would examine our hearts and we'd examine ourselves. Lord, just pray that we live the life that you have us to live. I always ask you to forgive us what we fail to do in these things in Christ.
Amen. Folks, as we share in this very precious time together, we have a wafer in our hands, and of course that's symbolic of the body of Christ. We are a believing body, and his was a broken body for us. So as we partake of this, if we have anything against anyone in the body, well, anywhere, if we have anything against anyone, we need to get it right with the Lord right now between you and him. And then, if necessary, later, you should go to that person and get it right. The Bible says, the night before the Lord was crucified, that he took bread, and when he had broke it, he said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Lord, as we partake of this wafer, we know it's symbolic. We know it's a picture. We know it's a reminder as we communicate with you as the head of the body with one another. And indeed, Lord, this is a matter of us sharing this time with you. Lord, we love you. We love you as a body. We love you as individuals, as members of that body. Thank you, Lord, for making it possible for us to be together here and making it possible for us to be together in eternity. And we pray all this thanking you in Jesus' name. Amen. This cup, this fruit of the vine, represents, of course, and reminds us in a tangible way of the blood that Jesus shed on Calvary. Without the shedding of blood, no redemption for sin, the Bible says. And Jesus did that. He became that eternal sacrifice, the lamb slain before the foundation of the world and some 2,000 years ago slain in history. But now he's at the right hand of the Father, just waiting for us to come home or waiting for that time to come get us. Remember, this, Jesus said, this cup is the New Testament or covenant or promise in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Oh, Jesus, thank you. Your blood is precious blood. We look to the cross. We see your suffering. We see what sin does to you. We see how important it is, how horrible it is. Lord, I want to pray and thank, first of all, thank you for dying in our place so that we wouldn't have to experience hell. But Lord, that not only the joy of heaven, but Lord, the joy of this fellowship with you, having our sins forgiven and knowing it here on earth. Father, we commit our hearts to you afresh and look forward to the day that you come to get us. That day of the rapture, that day when we all come to be with you and we're all smiling and we're all rejoicing and we're all singing that wonderful praise to you. And Lord, we commit ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, let's all stand. The Bible says that they sang a hymn and then they went out. Brother Chris, would you lead us? Take my life. Lead me, Lord. And then we will be dismissed. For folks, this is our prayer to the Lord, okay?